Well, a very, very warm welcome to St. Margaret's this morning. What a beautiful weekend we are having. And what a beautiful bunch of people we have here this morning with us. Do you like that? So smooth. Annette, of course, should have been preaching this morning, but she tested positive on Monday for the bug. She's a teacher, so of course blames the kids for everything. As I guess you realise, we had to postpone Jill Winder's funeral from last Thursday to next Tuesday, so it's now here on this coming Tuesday at 1:30 here. So please do particularly remember David and the family on Tuesday. Also, this afternoon, there's a concert. It's the Wickham Chamber Choir along at Holy Trinity at 4 o'clock. It's a beautiful afternoon for it, about 30-40 minutes worth of sort of contemporary music, is that right?
Yes, a bit more than 30 or 40
minutes maybe. Okay, more than 30 or 40 minutes, I'm told by my technical advisor over here, and chorister. So concert in Holy Trinity this afternoon, and then afterwards there's a tea. You can't beat that, can you? What a great day to do that. As you can beat it, because it's free. That's the other thing. we're still looking for a church warden for St. Margaret's. One of these rare opportunities has come up. It's an opportunity, as it were, to give back to the church here and be involved in the sort of the running and the direction, particularly over this next year or so with the interregnum, that church warden, a key role in sort of setting the future direction for the church here. Not an onerous task. No, become less onerous when I've gone, of course, haven't I? If you just feel that you're sort of being nudged that way, as sometimes happens, then don't resist it. Talk to Catherine afterwards and she'll tell you all about it. Now, electoral role, APCMs. Jean, do you want to come and tell us about that? So our APCM's coming up. I think it's Wednesday week, I think.
Wednesday week.
Wednesday week, yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Electoral roll. If you haven't signed up already and you would like to, unfortunately today is going to be the last day, but there are forms at the back of the church and you can pass them to me over in the sanctuary this morning. Or if you've got changes of address or telephone or email, please will you also let me know. My home details, my telephone number and my email address is on the news sheet. There you go. All right, so let me know as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it just reminds me to thank all those people like Jean who are involved in stuff that will come up at the APCM with electoral rolls and wardens, organists and all that stuff that actually makes the church work. So thank you to all those. David is leading this morning. Thank you, David.
You'll have heard that Annette has got COVID, so it's been busy night, Saturday night. Preparing everything because I'm going to you've got the B team today. So we take up our service sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We take our first hymn, 183, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Oh,
please be seated. Before we come to our confession, I have a prayer here for Ukraine. So let us pray. God of peace and justice, we pray for all caught up in conflicts not of their making. We pray for those separated from those they love, anxious for the safety of others more than themselves. We pray for those in simple human needs that are overwhelmed in this crisis, for those in sickness, hunger, or without shelter. We pray for the wounded and the captive, the grieving and the homeless, that in all their trials they may know your love and support. And we pray for those who have died and for those who mourn. And so, most holy God and Father, hear our prayers for all who strive for peace and all who fight for justice. Help us who today remember the cost of war to work for a better tomorrow. And as we commend to you lives lost in terror and conflict, bring us all in the end to the peace of your presence through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we come to our confession. We know we're not perfect, and we know we need God to help us. So before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world. May God give you
grace to lead, and spirit enable you to grow in love. For God, within you, O God, we confess our brokenness, the ways you wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. Amen. And the collect for today. Eternal God, give us insight to discern your will for us, to give up what harms us, and to seek the perfection that we are promised. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, the words of God from the Bible, read by Deborah and Ruth.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning to read at verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
New Testament reading comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Could we turn the lectern mic down a bit, please? It's ringing, and a bit more. Thank you. So our next hymn is Amazing Grace, one of my favourites.
Save the rest.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So may the words in my mouth and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock, our Rock and our salvation. Amen. What's the matter, God? We're in trouble down here. Don't you care? Where are you, God? Can't you hear us? Say something, God. Wake up. Do something. God, help us. Save us. Please. The disciples were in a boat with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. They'd started their journey in the evening, so it was dark, or possibly getting dark. There's nothing more peaceful than a boat on the water. It was quiet out there, away from the crowds. The waves slapped against the side of the boat in a steady, soothing rhythm. The boat was ghosting along under her small sail. All in all, it was a wonderful rest from the hustle and bustle of the day. Jesus, sitting on a cushion in the stern, fell asleep. He must have been tired. It'd been quite a day. But then the wind began to blow. The little sea was famous for its sudden storms. And this one came out of nowhere. It blew, and the waves smashed into the boat. The disciples panicked. It's interesting to note that at least four of them were fishermen. They'd seen storms before. They had survived storms before. They knew what it was to be in a storm. Are we surprised that they were so afraid? No one has ever been caught in a storm in a small boat from far from shore will be surprised. There are very few places where one is more helpless and more alone than in a small boat in a storm. The wind blows and the rain falls and the waves smash into the boat. Worse than that, the waves wash into the boat. A sailor caught in such a storm has much to do. If the boat gets sideways to the waves will capsize it. So the sailor must keep the boat facing into the waves. The sailor must also bail the water out of the boat. With any luck, the sailor will be able to bail the water out faster than the waves bring it in. And of course, the sailor must try to stay in the boat. That sounds simple, doesn't it? But it isn't simple at all. Trying to keep one's footing or even one's seat in a small boat in the sea is a full-time job in itself. And then, of course, the sailor must pray. Any sailor worth his or her salt knows that the storm is far stronger than any boat or any sailor. Have you ever been caught in a storm in a small boat? If you have, you know it's very scary. The disciples, including the fishermen among them, were just as afraid as any of us would be. The fishermen were afraid because they knew. They knew how much danger they were in. They knew the very real possibility that the boat would swamp and they would all go to the bottom. They knew that they might well not survive the night. They weren't cowardly men, but they knew the danger, and that's why they were afraid. And through all it all, Jesus slept. There he was on his comfortable cushion in the stern of the boat, sleeping through everything. How could he sleep? That was amazing. You'd have thought that the rough ride would have wakened him. But there he was, fast asleep. That was almost as upsetting as the storm. Jesus was their leader, and right now they needed some leadership. They wanted Jesus to be awake and alert. They wanted Jesus to take command of the situation, to get them organized. It was frightening to think that their leader would sleep through such a crisis. They woke him. They said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Don't you see what's happening? Don't you understand the danger we're in? Don't you care? We are disciples, Jesus. We left our homes and our jobs to follow you. Now this storm is threatening to kill us all, and you are blissfully asleep in the back of the boat. Wake up, take charge, do your job, save us." Have you ever felt like that? You don't have to be in a small boat in a storm to feel like that. We all feel like that at times, and sometimes like most of the time. Yes, the disciples were afraid. You're afraid? I'm afraid? It's part of the human condition. Even Jesus on the cross would say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When we hit by the storms of life, we all say, "What's the matter, God? We're in trouble down here. Don't you care? Where are you, God? Can't you hear me? Say something, God. Wake up, do something. God, help us, save us, please." We know the story of Job. While his reasoning is inexplicable, God gave Satan permission to tempt Job. And in no time at all, Job lost everything he had. Enemies came and stole his cattle. Lightning started a fire and it killed all his servants. And a ferocious windstorm flattened his house and all of his children died. for 37 chapters, Job rails at God. He curses the day he was born. He calls God his enemy and demands an explanation for his tragic life. It's in the 38th chapter that the student is told to be quiet. And the teacher speaks. God answers all Job's questions and insults, not by defending his actions, but by reminding Job that God is God, and he always has Job's best interests at heart. Gerard Frost, in his book, The Colour of the Night, records this family conversation. Grandad, yes, it's been a bad day, a really bad day. I lost my best friend, and the teacher made me sit by myself because she thought I talked too much. On my way home, I made a snowball, and I threw it, and I told God I hoped it hit him right in the heart. But after a while, I told him I was sorry. And then things got better. And Dr. Frost concludes, this is a starkly honest report of a day in the life of a 7-year-old, a 1-minute dramatic summary of the book of Job. When the disciples woke Jesus, they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are dying?" Jesus didn't answer them directly, but turned instead to the wind and the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. Then Jesus spoke directly to the disciples. He said, "Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" I wish Jesus hadn't said that. I wish Jesus had said, "I feel your pain." I wish Jesus had said, "Of course you're afraid. It's dangerous out here." I wish Jesus would have not had acknowledged how difficult it is to be human, up against great odds, caught between a rock and a hard place, afraid, in despair. But perhaps it's better that Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't affirm them in their despair, but instead pointed to the way out of it. Jesus said to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And they were stilled. Jesus spoke those words to the wind and the waves, but he also meant them for his disciples. Peace, be still. That was what those disciples needed to hear. They needed the world around them to be peaceful and still. But they needed even more to be at peace within themselves. When our world is coming unglued, we need to hear Jesus say, "Peace, be still." As much as we need Jesus to calm the storms around us, we need even more for him to calm the storms within us. Peace, be still. When Madeleine L'Engle's husband died of incurable cancer, it didn't happen suddenly. She had to watch as he declined day by day, and then he died. She felt empty, and she was full of grief. It was a confusing and a terrible time. Then someone told her the story of a bishop who had lost his wife and child in a tragic accident. The bishop said to his people, "I've been all the way to the bottom, and it's solid." In the worst storm of her life, all the way at the bottom of her life, Jesus said to Madeleine Lengel, "Peace, be still." And she put down her feet, and it was solid. Jesus comes to us in the storms of our lives. When the wind and the waves threaten to undo us, we cry, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus says, "Peace, be still." He calls us to faith. He calls us to put our feet down to discover that it is solid. So what storms are in our lives right now? A problem with a husband or a wife, a problem with a child, a health problem, financial problems, can't find a job, or just plain discouraged. So let us turn our eyes for the moment from the storm to the Saviour. Tell Jesus what is on our hearts. Go ahead and say it. "Jesus, don't you care that we're in trouble down here?" And then hear him as he says, "Peace, be still." And keeping our eyes fixed on him, we remember the beginning of Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." So let's put our feet down and discover that it really is solid. Amen. Now, Roger will come and say our prayers. Lead us in our prayers.
I'll say the intercessions and then we'll conclude at the end together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for our clergy and our Bible readings in St. Margaret's today, and for sending the world, your dear Son Jesus, to help us through faith in him with calming the storms in our world and in our lives. We pray for your calming influence on the terrible and brutal conflict in Ukraine. Strengthen the faith and courage of those who seek peace and not oppression, with openness and honesty, and not the deception of the people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the reconciliation of our world, that we should trust that love will always overcome mistrust and conflict, just as the teachings of love by Jesus overcame the oppression of the Roman military. Help us to be active Christians in our own communities and always to do the right thing by Jesus. Help us to be kind to one another and invite newcomers to come and see our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that your beautiful world will become safe for all the nations suffering from COVID and other illnesses. We pray for our world leaders, that they and their peoples will collaborate in finding solutions to poverty, disease, and environmental damage to your beautiful world. We pray that compassion, reconciliation, fairness, and mutual respect will overcome anger and division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens, who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing the difficulties of anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for those on our notice sheet, Steve Taylor and his wife Debbie, David Winder and the family, and for the inspiration of children of Tyler's Green First School when they visit Holy Trinity this week. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in a beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others, so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers. Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And now for the Lord's Prayer on your notice sheet. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. And now we have our next hymn, number 316, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Really appropriate for this time. So as we stand, let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in on heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives through our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now our offertory hymn, number 466, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. In darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust to your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's face each other across the aisle and say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.